section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Off the Mark has a great announcement to make. Our show is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
86 Productions.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Off the Mark, the only podcast providing the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am your host, Andrew, and I'm joined by my co-host, Aaron. Let's start the show by discussing some recent news. Vince McMahon is super stressed over the WWE product and the launching of the WWE Network. What's going on with this, Aaron?
So Vince apparently has been really stressed out backstage. He thinks that they kind of have a inferior product right now. And he also is kind of worried about the launch of the WWE Network, which I would be too, because you got to realize that this is going to be big for them. This is supposed to be a moneymaker. And I would be a little scared right now if I were him.
It is a big deal. And actually, I know he's a little stressed. I'm sorry. He's super stressed over it. The WWE product I can see, but I can also see things that are happening that are going to be very, very good that's coming up. The network, I can see why he was stressed. But the fact that they now are just starting to put shows out there on YouTube, come on. You should have had this planned out months in advance. That whole thing with the house with all the legends in it, that should have been taped already. It should have been done already. But I bet you what happened was someone was sitting there like, you know, this network's going to have to launch pretty soon, and we haven't done anything yet. Mm-hmm. Hey, let's put all these legends into a house. That's probably what happened. And then they all of a sudden brought out the bumper. That's what happened. I can pretty much guarantee you that's what happened, because they didn't know what was going on. Like, why the heck is Mason Ryan getting buried all of a sudden? I don't understand.
Well, I think that Vince was really hot on him to start off with. But the crowd just isn't connecting with him, and one of the reasons why is because he kind of looks like Batista, but he doesn't have the charisma, you know? I don't know what he would sound like on the mic, because I don't think he's done mic work yet, which would be kind of surprising to see how he is on the mic. But I feel like he's just a big guy. I think that the best thing to do if they really wanted to get him over is have him be somebody's bodyguard. Well, that's what I would do.
He was doing the stuff with Zack Ryder, and I thought that was coming over actually really good. I would like to see more of that. Almost have him bring him in as Zack Ryder's bodyguard, have him feud with Kane, and if Kane was to put him over, that's a big deal. Then he's in the picture, because Zack Ryder is, you know, big right now.
Mm-hmm.
That
could be a pretty good idea to do, you know, have him in there with Kane, have Zack Ryder, you know, be like his guy. You know, the other thing, too, if you really wanted to make him a monster, is have him turn on Zack Ryder. You know,
you can eventually do that. Yes, definitely. I completely agree with you.
That's kind of interesting. Now, Andy, I wanted to ask you, so WWE is now surveying its users about the pay-per-views. A couple of the questions they had on there were, you know, like, did you buy the Royal Rumble last year? Do you have any interest in buying any of the other pay-per-views? How many pay-per-views did you buy last year? Do you buy other promotions pay-per-views? And they mention Impact and Ring of Honor and UFC also. What do you think about this idea of them surveying their users?
I think it was a good idea, actually. Sometimes it's easier just to ask the people that go, because they're the people who are paying for all the pay-per-views and actually watching every pay-per-view, a lot of the people that go. So I thought this was actually a very good move on the WWE actually surveying the people. I thought it was a great, great move by them. So hands down, I think, gotta give them thumbs
and,
up.
And I agree with you. I think that it's smart to do, just because you will get people. These are your rabid fans. That's the big thing. So you are going to get people who are going to say things like, well, no, because all the pay-per-views suck. And so I only bought two last year, you know, and the only ones that were worth anything. So I think it's good, but you have to take the data into consideration and also plan for people to, you know, really kind of attack your product.
Yeah, and I think it was a great move, again, for doing that. I sound like a broken 45, but honestly, I got to give them I got to give WWE credit because they see there's an issue. What better thing to do than actually ask the fans? So I'm very happy with that. Let's get into the Royal Rumble, by the way. We need to talk about the Royal Rumble. You know why? Because this was actually a good show. First off, the very first match, which I was very surprised about, was Daniel Bryan versus Henry versus Show. Daniel Bryan retains, but in a weird way. When we were watching the pay-per-view, we thought this was a mistake. But Daniel Bryan was holding on to, or Show was holding on to Daniel Bryan, and then he just lost his grip. Daniel Bryan falls, and he retains the championship because that's the easiest way to do it, because you can't have him go over Big Show and Mark Henry cleanly. There's no way, because you just can't do that yet. For him escaping, it makes him more of a heel, which I liked. So I was really happy with this match. What did you think?
Yeah, I think it was probably smart of them to do it that way. I am a little – I'm worried, though, about his reign as World Heavyweight Champion. I think that they're going to make him into what Sheamus was a year ago, where Sheamus was getting, you know, or actually 2 years ago now, where Sheamus was getting wins over people, but in like cheap ways, or he wasn't the one who got the win, you know, like somebody else got the win and then he just happened to like lay on top of him. That's the one thing I'm worried about. I'm worried that Daniel Bryan will fade into obscurity now because of this. And, you know, we're going to talk about on SmackDown, you know, what test he has ahead of him. So good and bad, you know, good and bad to come of this.
Are now, you referring to the wrestler Andrew Martin test?
So we had a Kane and Cena. They had their match and it ended in a double count out.
Called it.
I think that this is probably a good way to end this, even though it's, you know, it's kind of cheap because, you know, if you buy the pay-per-view, you know, most people, though, probably didn't buy the pay-per-view for this match. They probably bought it for the Rumble. So I'm not that disappointed with this ending in a double count out. I do think, though, that what they're doing with Zack Ryder, I'm a little worried about it.
Yeah, he's basically, I would have to say he's at the peak. He is at the peak, and then you take him off TV. I still think that's a mistake. I know that he's going to be doing stuff for the WWE Network, you know, and his show has, of course, moved to the WWE Network. The WWE YouTube page. I just think that if, you know, it just reminds me of Alex Riley. Alex Riley was on a roll for a while. And when they were doing stuff on the roll, do you remember when Too Cool was just starting, was, you know, everyone got the big pops and they're like, hey, we need a tag team. We need two guys to come down. I remember Raw, there was like, we need two more guys to come down. And everyone's like, what's going to happen? All of a sudden, Too Cool's music hits and everyone popped like it was nothing. And the thing is, they didn't do anything with them afterwards. They just kind of like faded away. They did the same thing with Alex Riley and Sheamus to a certain extent, but Sheamus just kept getting big because he would put on good matches. So people wanted him, but it seemed like they kept pushing him back. They're doing the same thing now with Zack Ryder. It's like, hey, let's get him over. All right, now he's over. Let's have him do some other stuff, then we'll bring him back because then he'll still be over. No, that's not how it works. If someone's hot, you continue. CM Punk is still hot. Still, people still talk about CM Punk for what he did. Was it last June, if I'm correct?
June, July, yeah.
They still talk about it. They're still talking about that. Okay. He's still hot. People still talk about him. You need to do the same thing with Zack Ryder. They're not. Zack Ryder, for what he did for, gosh, almost, I think it was 20 weeks before finally he got on Raw. Or maybe it was even 30 weeks. Then he finally gets on Raw. He gets a huge pop because of it. And now, what, 20 weeks after the fact, they're like, yeah, we're going to do injury angle on him.
Nah. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, so let's move on then to CM Punk, though, and Dolph Ziggler. Punk retained his title, yep. Which was, you know, kind of a big deal. Johnny Ace went, and he actually counted the 1, 2, 3 along with the ref.
Well,
was interesting.
He only counted two, though.
Oh, he only counted two?
Yeah, because it was one, then he ran into got in the ring, and he goes, 2, 3, and then, you know. Mm-hmm. So CM Punk retained. Good match,
good
by
match,
the way.
You know,
I was very good. Happy with Dolph Ziggler. I thought he did a great job. And I think he's getting buried now, too. But we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
Later.
Yeah. So let's talk about the Royal Rumble. First of all, Andy, what were your thoughts overall about the Rumble?
You know, I watched it with a friend of the show, Doug, and he was over. We were watching it. We talked about last week, you need to have certain points where you're like, oh, crap, you need to have something big happen here. The thing is, they only went 2 minutes on, I think, three of the entrants, and the rest of them were like a minute 10, minute 25, minute 30. They were bouncing all around the place. And we were timing as soon as it hit zero, we started the stopwatch. They weren't getting it. But the thing is, the WWE did hit the keys. You need it when Santino came out and Mick Foley came out, you're like, oh, okay, now we're doing something. I was pretty happy with that. I was not happy about Alex Riley getting eliminated right away. Why?
I was actually okay with that. I thought that it was good to have him in there against The Miz, and I thought that made a lot of sense.
But
really
the thing
did.
Is, if he would if they start a feud, I think it's a great idea. But the thing is, they're not. And Alex Riley still is. You know, when I heard his music come out, I was like, I told Doug, I'm like, yeah, here we go. This is going to be good. I hope he gets eliminated right away, because it would have been kind of funny. Miz is number one. Alex Riley knocks him out. I thought it would have been cool. But then I think R-Truth came out third or something like that.
Which was like, I'm sorry, but if you wrestle to see who's going to be number one, normally you're not going to be the third person to enter in. I mean, even if he was like fifth, I wouldn't be very happy about that. Mm-hmm. I didn't like the way that was done. I thought that was kind of dumb personally.
Now here's something that we were like, oh, this is going to be awesome. We were like, here's going to be the first back-to-back Royal Rumble winner. We were pretty excited about it. And we heard Del Rio's music come out. We're all excited. And then the car comes out. And I was like, is that a Toyota something? I couldn't remember what it was. And then we started laughing. It was Ricardo. He came out. And that was honestly, we couldn't stop laughing about the car because there was like duct tape on it. One of the headlights was up. It was pretty funny.
So Ricardo coming out, I mean, that was perfect. You know, I mean, obviously he's a comedic character. And on top of it, too, he's actually a pretty damn good wrestler, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think, though? So Sheamus and Jericho were the last two people, and Sheamus won. What did you think of Sheamus being the 2012 Royal Rumble winner?
I don't know why they did this. I'm still kind of puzzled by it because it didn't make sense. Like I understand there's a lot of comedic stuff that happened, you know, in the Royal Rumble. You know, the announcers got put in because they're a superstar, and you know, you had the legends and stuff. But I just didn't understand why Sheamus. I mean, I know that they did the, you know, the swerve with Jericho, but when Jericho was dominating in the ring, I told Doug, I'm like, Sheamus is winning. I go, I can see it now, because why else would Jericho be, you know, doing all this stuff? And I thought what would happen is that he would think that he eliminated Sheamus, start celebrating, and, you know, do the, you don't know, like his celebration, but no, they didn't. They didn't do the celebration. And then, you know, Sheamus, you know, that's what I thought was going to happen. I should clarify. I thought that's what was going to happen, but it didn't. What ended up happening was, of course, back and forth, and Sheamus missed the bro kick a couple of times and then bro kicked him out.
Yeah. I'll tell you this much. I'm not mad that Sheamus won. I think that Jericho should have won. But I don't think that it was bad that Sheamus did win. With that said, though, I'm going to be interested to see what happens, going forward. The one thing I did want to ask you about, though, Andy, is that there were a number of entrants into the Royal Rumble that were really kind of interesting. You know, you touched on it earlier. You said that the announce team was in there. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously there are some big returns, you know, Ricardo, the Great Khali return.
Yeah, that was a weird one.
The thing that I really just did not understand. Look, when they put China into the Rumble, it was a big deal because no woman had been in there. And then years later, 10 years later or so, Beth Phoenix was in the Rumble. And that was a pretty big deal. This year, Karma was in there. Her return to the WWE was her being in the Royal Rumble to her music, which I was listening and I'm like, I have no idea who this is. I have no idea who this is.
I said the first thing to Doug, I go, oh, Karma's back. She must have had her kid. That's the first thing I said to him.
You know, like the legends that were in there, I'm good with that. I am.
Oh, yeah.
But the announce team, you did not need all three of them. You needed one of them.
Okay,
one.
So I know Doug's listening right now. I'm just going to say this. He goes, they're going to have Booker T and Michael Cole come out. I said, no, they're not. They're not going to do anything stupid like that. And then when Booker T did his thing, but she was in there longer this time, I was pretty happy. But Cole, I thought was funny. He basically eliminated himself.
Yeah, you should have just had Michael Cole in there. That's it. But the other thing, too, is that you had a really low tier of people that were in there. David Otunga was like number 28 or 29, 27. I want to say.
He was 27. 27? Yeah.
Well, either way, like David Otunga. David freaking Otunga, who has no chance of winning. And when you saw him come out, you weren't like, oh, he could do it.
I was like, where's Christian is what I kept thinking.
Big Show coming out. I thought Big Show could win.
Big Show was a surprise. You know? I really thought that was, I said it to you before. I thought Rey Mysterio was going to return and he didn't. Mm-hmm. So I was shocked. And then the fact they said everyone said that they saw Christian out there. Leaving him off, I thought, was kind of dumb. I really thought that they could have put him in there. He could have got eliminated. You know, it would
have
been
a deal. The thing is, though, you got to be careful about how many people return in the Rumble. Because if you have too many people return, it's not a big deal. Having Great Khali return is okay because, you know, he hadn't been seen on TV in a long time. So Having him return was good. Road Dogg got a huge pop. Obviously, he's not returning, but, you know, he got a huge pop. Same thing with Hacksaw and Foley. But you got to be careful, though, because if you had Christian and Rey Mysterio both return, it'd be like, you know, you'd be conflicted. Like Karma, for example, had no business of being there. Have her come out on Monday, announce she's back. And you make it a big spectacle. You have a focus then on her. Having her in the Rumble, I thought was dumb. Because there are so many people looking at the Rumble. They didn't need to be in there, you know,
in my opinion. There's a lot. I disagree with you. I thought Karma coming in was a good idea. Because now, you know, like, oh, what's going to happen? You know, like, what's going to happen on Raw? What's going to happen on SmackDown? Is she coming back or is this a one-off? You know, you don't know. Is she going to, like, you know, feud with Beth Phoenix? I mean, yeah, you could have had her, you know, do a run in through the, you know, the women's match, but I don't know. I did like Hacksaw, Road Dogg, and Foley, Unico, Epico, Primo, Uso. What was the point? You knew they were going to get eliminated.
Yeah.
So anyways, but that's Royal Rumble. I was pretty satisfied. I'd definitely give it like a B minus. Because I was disappointed that there was no, like, big male return, you know, but oh well. So, Anyways, let's move on to Raw. Raw, something interesting happened that I was in shock about. Daniel Bryan versus CM Punk. But here's the cool part. They shook hands as a code of honor.
Which yes, I they love. Did.
And the thing is, I knew as soon as they did that, I was like, oh my gosh, this is great. Code of honor. I was pretty happy about that.
Yeah. It was really cool. And I know a lot of, you know, internet fans were just going, you know, crazy for it. I know myself, like I watched that, you know, in full speed. I did not go and fast forward it. The thing I thought was kind of interesting about this, though, is that first of all, you gave this away on free TV, which I thought was kind of dumb. But let's not talk about that. Let's talk about at the end of the match, Chris Jericho comes out, throws Daniel Bryan, you know, into the railing, and then goes in and just, you know, code breaks CM Punk. What'd we think of this segment, Andy?
Oh, this is a great segment because now you have Chris Jericho. He's in the title picture. He's going to be in the Elimination Chamber match. But here's the thing that I thought was really weird. Daniel Bryan just takes off. So that they're basically saying that it's going to be Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus at WrestleMania, you know, because what else are you going to do? So Daniel Bryan's going to have to somehow win the Elimination Chamber, and he's going to face Sheamus because you're not going to have Sheamus face CM Punk now because there's no point. That's not a good match.
Nah, I don't think it would be either.
Daniel Bryan versus him might be a better fit, you know, because Daniel Bryan, even though he's a little bit smaller of a guy, you can see him actually beating Sheamus.
But let's talk, though. Let's focus on Jericho. What did you think, though, of Jericho interfering in the match? Like, what did you think of
this? I thought it was good. I thought he came in, did exactly what he needed to do, did the code breaker. That's it. Walks out. I thought that was perfect. Exactly what he wanted to do, what he needed to do, and he did it.
Yeah, I think that it went off really great, too. I did want to point something out that this past Wednesday, he tweeted that Cult of Personality came on XM Radio and that he hates that song. So I thought that was pretty funny.
Yes.
Now let's talk about the end of Raw. The big thing, Triple H comes out to fire Johnny Ace, right?
And?
Big deal, right? And if you didn't set your DVRs for 15 or for 10 minutes and only 5 minutes, then you missed this.
Yes.
But out comes The Undertaker.
Yep. Actually, you hear the dun and everyone goes nuts. They're like, oh. And I thought, oh, great. We're going to have a midget Undertaker come out, or it's going to be a fake one. So Taker comes out wearing a wig. Of course.
Yes, he did come out wearing a wig because he was bald.
Yeah, there's a very good picture that we actually posted a while ago that he was bald. And I'm sorry, to have that long of a hair, that will take at least 2 hours. I'm sorry, 2 years to grow out. So yeah. There's no way that his hair is that long. And plus, it was black and he has red hair. But, you know, whatever. Not that I just thought that was really weird. And then he doesn't say anything. He just looks at the WrestleMania.
They do what they did last time, you know, where they're sitting there, you know, showing their respect for each other. But Triple H walks out on him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my question to you is this. Is this going to lead to a Undertaker Triple H 3
at WrestleMania?
Do you think that they will wrestle each other?
I think so. I think it's going to happen. And I don't know why, because The Undertaker is way past his prime. He needs to call it. I mean, the last match with him and Triple H saved the match. I mean, that's saying something. But also, yeah. But Triple H was also wrestling during that time. Now neither guy is wrestling. What's going to happen to the match? Is Triple H actually fit in the ring? Because they were saying, you know, as everyone knows, you can be physically fit and fit playing a certain sport, but when you step in that ring, it's a different type of endurance and that you need. What's, you know, this match will not be good. I mean, it's not going to be good.
Yeah.
But
I'm a little worried about it, too. I just don't want it to happen, to be honest. But let's move on to SmackDown, Andy. SmackDown opens. They announce, you know, who's going to be in the Elimination Chamber. And then Mark Henry, you know, does some stuff, some crazy things. And he gets suspended because he's injured. You know, I mean, that's not why he got suspended. But, you know, basically, it's why he was suspended.
Yeah, he got suspended. He has some minor injuries. You know, got to give credit to the guy, actually. I was talking to, again, Doug, because we were talking about it. He was over. And we were talking about the fact that, you know, he's going through all this stuff. You know, he's hurt. He's still wrestling. He's still showing up. He's not complaining about it. And I think this was kind of like a thank you. Like, hey, take the next month off. We'll see you at WrestleMania. One of those things. Like, take the rest of the month off. You'll heal up those small injuries. Because it's all little ones. That if he just had like a week or two off, he'd be fine. But he kept coming through it. Props to Mark Henry for doing that. You know, good storyline.
I definitely agree with you.
So here's another great storyline. Brodus Clay is finally going to have a feud, and it's going to be with Drew McIntyre. Looking forward to that, actually.
Excellent. Yeah. Are you excited about this, Andy? Are you ready for Drew McIntyre?
Somebody better call my mama is what should happen, all right, dude? Someone needs to call her. And that's your mama.
Okay. So Orton versus Daniel Bryan is announced for next week. What do you think of this?
Why on free TV again? I don't know. I just don't know. Why on free TV? This is ridiculous. This should not be on free TV. But, hey, I guess SmackDown, they need it, and this will be a good match. You know who's going to win. Daniel Bryan's going to win. Some way, somehow, he's going to cheat to win, or someone's going to come in and hit Daniel Bryan again. And, of course, and actually, Wade Barrett's probably going to come in, hit Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan's going to still retain. Orton's going to be really mad about it, RKO Wade Barrett because of it, and then that sets up their feud to continue.
Could be.
It feels like I'm writing for the WWE right now.
Yeah.
So if you got a complaint and you want to complain about the WWE over and over again, you need to go get a blog and get your hosting through HostGator. Are you a blogger or a podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web host? Check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. They offer unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and one-click script installs. And a great free site builder with the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. What do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. What happened on Impact Wrestling this week, Aaron? Robert Roode versus James Storm versus Jeff Hardy versus Bull Ray has been announced for Against All Odds. You looking forward to this match?
Yes, it has. So it's looking interesting. I think that this could be a pretty good match. We did talk about it the previous weeks. We actually thought it was going to be a triple threat match without Bully Ray in there. I'll be interested to see if it's a traditional, you know, if it's an elimination one, if it's a tag style match. That's going to be the type of things that I'm going to be interested in. I really wish that they would do a better job of talking about the type of Fatal 4-Way match, because that's the thing. Like, I hate to say, but it's actually kind of, you know.
Well, if it's a Fatal 4-Way, it's the first one that gets pinned. But it should be, I like the elimination ones where someone gets pinned and they have to be, you know, go out or whatever. I prefer those. But
I like the tag elimination ones personally. Those are my favorite, where you have, you know, somebody on the outside and they get tagged in, and you can have some fun chemistry in there.
Yeah.
Because how cool would it be to see Robert Roode tag in James Storm?
That is true.
You know,
that is
think
true.
About it.
Well, if it's are you talking about elimination tag?
Yeah.
Okay, then I see it. I actually, that would actually be kind of cool, because you'd have to do the spot where you're like, I don't want to tag. Oh gosh, I don't want to tag him. And then he gets knocked or something like that. Then he tags himself in or something like that.
Yeah, you like slap him in the chest, you know, to indicate a tag, you know. And
they could do knife edge chops for the slap.
Exactly. So that could be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Now the other thing that happened on Impact this week is that the tag titles are starting to get a little bit of love. They're continuing the feud right now, going on with Crimson Matt Morgan, and then also with Samoa Joe and Magnus. This is obviously helping out Magnus an awful lot, because he's in a pretty high profile feud, you know, with somebody like Samoa Joe. So it's a pretty big deal. Are you excited for this feud that they have going on?
Here's what I think. Every time I see Samoa Joe on Impact, what if he was in the WWE? That's what I keep thinking. What if? Because I just don't think he's getting utilized there properly. But of course, they'd probably, you know, not utilize him anyways in the WWE. But that's what I keep thinking every time I see him. What if? What if he was in the WWE? What they're doing right now, you know, giving the tag title some love, and you know, it's kind of focusing a lot on Samoa Joe now, I think. I'm digging it a little bit more. I like Samoa Joe. I think he's an awesome wrestler. So
I did too. I really wish that he was in the title picture, though. I think that's something that I agree with you. They're underutilizing him, and it'd be nice to see him in there.
But the thing is, him versus, you know, Jeff Hardy, or even, you know, James Storm, Robert Roode, Samoa Joe, I just would see, he just seems too big for him, if that makes sense. If you had someone like Kurt Angle with the title again, then I think he'd bring Samoa Joe in. But I don't know. It's tough right now. It's one of those. It's just a weird situation. Like this one with Hogan, he returns as Garrett Bischoff's trainer. Yay.
Mm-hmm.
This is really exciting, by the way. Can't you tell?
It's super excited to have him back.
It's so exciting that I don't even want to talk about him.
Garrett Bischoff has no business being a focal point of Impact. None whatsoever.
No. You could just eliminate him altogether and just have, like, you could have all the knockouts just stand next to each other for like 5 minutes, and it would be more entertaining.
Yeah.
That's the best way to put it.
Yep. You
know? But, I don't know, dude. Impact Wrestling. So,
you know, this week I got to say about Impact, Impact was bad. Yes, it had some pretty good matches.
Yeah.
But all in all, like the stuff that they put on this week was crap. I mean, they had really good stuff the past few weeks. So I'm a little disappointed. A little disappointed.
Yeah,
in that.
And it could have been a lot better. But, you know, this is what happens when you tape a lot of shows together. It's just one of those things. You actually need to have better. You need to be prepared. That's the thing. You should have everything. What's going to happen here? Your points. Let the guys figure out how the wrestling is going to go. but here's how the storyline's going to go. And that's it. But it seems like it's almost like they're throwing everything together. Like, hey, this sounds like a great idea. Really? Come on. You guys should, know, you guys should know better than that.
So normally we do our weekly topic after Impact Wrestling. However, though, because of how much stuff we had to cover about the Royal Rumble, we actually are not doing a weekly topic this week.
Yeah, there's also, you know what? I just remembered something. We actually missed something kind of big. A couple days ago, Evan Bourne, it looks like he's in rehab. Forgot about that. Yeah, I completely forgot to say something to you earlier about it. But yeah, Evan Bourne's in rehab. So whatever it was this time, it seemed kind of big because he went in. So good luck to you, Matt.
Yeah, agreed. Yep. Agreed.
That's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthorMork86. And of course, if you actch the Royal Rumble or follow us on Twitter, we tweeted everything out you can think of. Great. It was a great job by both Aaron and myself. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank our listeners, all of our listeners, for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.